All right, we're going to be in Proverbs two more times tonight and then once more. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs. Actually, if you would, just go to Proverbs 3. I'm going to bounce around. A lot of the passages that we're going to read will be on the screen, but we're going to read some select ones from Proverbs 3. In our study of the people of Proverbs, we've already looked at the scorner and the simple, who are both categorized as being fools. And today we'll look at the sage who lives in a wise manner. Remember, Proverbs are general statements or truths. They're inductive in meaning, which means they're observations that we can draw truth from, as opposed to deductive, which is because of X, Y is true. So the laws of Scripture are deductive. If you do this, this is the result. This will happen. But the Proverbs are just general statements or general principles that we can draw general conclusions from. Also, Proverbs must be placed into the broader context of Scripture. And at Proverbs, it does demonstrate, and I'll link it with my morning series, it does demonstrate how a disciple should live, right? A disciple of Christ should live in a wise manner. Jesus Christ, if we're going to follow the pattern of ABF and Kevin Sherd teaching it, Proverbs does teach us principles that Jesus Christ lived out. Jesus can be seen, in a sense, in the Proverbs, in that he obeyed these things. He did these things. He lived in a wise manner. And so the wise person will pattern their walk after the Savior, which happens to be in the same pattern of Proverbs. And so we'll follow the same pattern we've been going through with the scoffer and the simple. We're going to look at the definition. I've added one extra component. We're going to look at the value of the wise, then we'll look at the actions of the wise, and then the wise before God, or the sage before God. We're just going to look at the first two tonight, though. We'll break this into two sections. A lot of Scripture. I'm going to read them. They'll be up on the screen sometimes. They won't. I don't really remember what's up on the screen, so you'll just have to pay attention, and they'll have to pay attention, and we'll cruise through the book of Proverbs, but I do want to pause occasionally to open or to look at our physical Bibles and read, and we're going to read from Proverbs 3 most of the time. So a simple definition, the definition of a sage is going to be starting with the foundation of wisdom, which we are told the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that. Actually, so does Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I really like chapter 9, verse 10, because it's a little bit different. We know, probably, you have memorized Proverbs 1:7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or beginning of knowledge. But chapter 9, verse 10 adds a component. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so I like that, knowledge of the holy. A.W. Tozer has a great book called Knowledge of the Holy. And so it's the beginning of knowing God. The foundation of all wisdom is going to be found in God. God's character, the truths that God teaches us about his character and how we should respond to it. So knowledge of the holy and wisdom both begin with the Lord, with respecting or giving reverence to the Lord. It's a recognition that God and wisdom are synonymous. There's nothing that's going to be wise or no wisdom or no knowledge that does not first have its root in God. It's all going to agree with the Lord. And so if there's something that we think we know and it's counter to what we know about God, then what we know is not correct. It's not wise, it's not knowledge, it's not understanding. So everything that we think is wise or knowledgeable or is full of understanding must be in agreement with God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you can take that in two ways, right? It begins with us in reverence, recognizing that God is all-knowing, God is all-wise, but also recognizing that wisdom is going to be in agreement with that. So in a general sense, it means that all wisdom and knowledge proceeds from God. Would you look at chapter 3, though, verse 19? Chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. And just to remind you something you probably already know, a lot of the Proverbs come in couplets, two at a time. It'll be a statement of two, a positive and then a negative as well sometimes. And so here we have a couplet of two verses speaking of the wisdom of the Lord. We don't often, as we read through, especially as we're looking at the wise or the sage here, we'll read a verse about the wise and then we'll read a verse about the fool. And here, this couplet, this two verses, is all about the Lord. Notice it's his wisdom. By his wisdom, by wisdom he founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. So by God's wisdom and all his knowledge these things occur. And so this goes so well with Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10. In a specific sense, I think meant here, it means that the recognition of the application of truth is found in knowing God. And so the foundation of wisdom is the Lord. The second thing I want you to see about the definition is it is synonymous or coupled with righteousness. Proverbs 10 verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Your Bible might read instead of perverse, frowardness. Here, righteousness, again, righteousness and wisdom are coupled together. To have wisdom is therefore to pursue righteousness or to avoid the foolishness of perverseness or frowardness or wickedness. So if I had to define wisdom, I would define it along the terms of applying knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Proverbs 10 verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 23 says, it is as a sport to a fool to do mischief, but of man of understanding hath wisdom. So wisdom is very much the practical use of knowledge, right? God doesn't give us knowledge and understanding so that we just hold it for ourselves. He wants us to use it. Laying up facts and information and thoughts about God is not enough. We have to use it in our everyday walk, in our life, to understand and then use that understanding. I mean, what would you call a person who is smart, like intellectual, brilliant, maybe even an IQ up near 200? I mean, absolute brilliance. But they never use their intelligence. I mean, you'd call them a fool. I think we all would, right? We would call them foolish. The Bible, I think, would call them foolish. Being smart is not enough. We have to apply the smartness. Yeah, there, thank you. We have to apply the knowledge that we have. Look at chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Well, what's them? It's the verses we read just a moment ago. The wisdom that the Lord founded the earth with, the understanding that he established the heavens with, the knowledge that he broke the world up and dropped down the dew, all that, with all that wisdom, that knowledge, the understanding, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to thy soul and grace to thy neck. We are to use wisdom. We are to hold it to ourselves and then apply it to our life. Wisdom as well is personified in Scripture. Wisdom, is to be sought out, to be heeded, to be pursued, to be dwelt with. Those are all action verbs that are used in the Bible's instruction to us to get wisdom and get knowledge and get understanding. It's to be sought out, heeded, pursued, and dwelt with. And those who possess wisdom are greatly valued. And so I want to look at the value of the wise. specifically five things or five categories that speak of value in wisdom. The first is happiness. Wisdom brings happiness. Chapter 3, verse 13 reads, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." If you read this passage, you read her, all the way through. And it's because wisdom is personified. All the way back to the very beginning, we are told to look for wisdom and gain wisdom and live with wisdom and value wisdom. And so here, those who value that, those who get wisdom and understanding and use it, they are happy because they have found wisdom. Listen to some of the other descriptions of value, and they're here. We're going to take a lot of them from this passage, but I do want you to turn to chapter 4, because chapter 4 has a whole section on this. 3 and 4 go together quite well. And look at the language that is used here. Chapter 4, verse 5. "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." We could keep going. I thought about reading a whole section like that. But just notice the language that's used here of the benefits of wisdom, the getting of wisdom. It's the word preservation is used here. The word preservation meaning a guard or a hedge of protection. She shall preserve thee. The word promotion is used to raise up, to be exalted or honored. The word honor is used, but here it doesn't mean honor as in promotion. It means, literally, it means to make weighty. To make weighty. As in rich or having a deep, profound value. One of the other benefits are many years, a fruitful life. In verse 10, the years of your life will be many. There's also direction. In fact, verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So there's direction as well. One of the benefits is knowing what to do. When you have wisdom, you know what to do. It sounds so simple, right? I'm trying not to use the word get. I really don't like it. It's not a very descriptive English word. You realize that? Get? I don't know why I'm telling you all this. Every time I hear that word, I think, there's got to be a better word than get. Except Scripture here says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So I kind of have to agree with Scripture. It's pretty good there. You got to go get it. How else can you say get it, right? Pursue it, find it, hoard it, hold on to it. All of that is wrapped up in that word get, of getting understanding. But notice the benefits. Now, I listed these benefits, and here's, if you're like me, I read these benefits. I read the word preservation, promotion, honor, many years, or a fruitful life, direction. I read all those things, and I'm tempted to think of them in a monetary sense, a material sense, that if I have wisdom, God's going to bless me. I mean, this is like the American mentality. We cannot escape it. My mind often goes to that. If I have wisdom, then I'm going to get stuff. That's not what he means. And I did use that word on purpose that time. It's not what God means here. He means this, if the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, it puts wisdom in a spiritual context. And so when we get wisdom, according to this passage, these are spiritual benefits. Let me recite them again, and just think of them don't think of them at all from a material perspective. Think of them exclusively from a spiritual context. We have preservation. We are spiritually guarded and protected if we have wisdom. You ever been on the verge of making a foolish decision? Right? It seems like an oxymoron. How can you make a foolish decision if you're wise? Well, you if you're not acting wise, therefore you make a foolish decision. So if you have wisdom, it's going to preserve you from making spiritually foolish choices. And couple that with God's grace, and we've probably gotten out of many self-made pickles in our life. Right? Where our own foolishness was heading us in one path, and by the grace of God and the wisdom of the Lord, he's preserved us. Promotion. We think of that. You hear the word promotion, you think a job, you get a new title, more money, better car, right? More power, whatever you might think. That's not what he means when he says promotion. This is exaltation or honor. It's a recognition that you're spiritually walking in a way that pleases the Lord. And so I think that's promotion among other people as well. Other people recognize the spiritual value that you have or bring, and God honors you with that. Honor here means to make weighty, as in rich, or having a pronounced value. Again, in a spiritual context, it means that the words that you say, and by the way, Proverbs would agree with this, that a wise counselor doesn't tell you what you want to hear, a wise counselor tells you what you need to hear. Weighty words, think of that. May our words have weight to them, not be frivolous, not be empty or void of understanding. Many years, again, we think of that in a numerical context. We think a long life. And by the way, there's several times in Proverbs where the benefits of a long life are promoted. But it can also mean a fruitful life. So maybe not lengthy in number. What if it is also lengthy in value? Fruit that is produced. A life that is hard to squish down into a small value. Now think of that in the New Testament context. When we stand before Christ, some people will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the works and the efforts that we have on this earth that are done for Christ will be tried with fire, and what should result? The wood, the hay, and the stubble burn away, but the gold, the silver, and the precious jewels last. That's a fruitful life. Right? In a spiritual context, if we're in New Testament era in our mindset, when we think of a fruitful life, we don't necessarily think of finances. We think of spiritual value. That's what he means here. Direction. Oh, man, the number one question I get from young people. By the way, old people want to know too. They just don't ask. Young people want to know, how do I know what the Lord's will is? Right? Isn't that the number one question you get? How do I know what the Lord's will is? I want to do what the Lord wants, but I don't know what the Lord's will is. I think we overcomplicate the Lord's will. Get wisdom, and you'll know what the Lord's will is. Get wisdom. You want to know what path to take, what direction to move? Get wisdom. Search for it. Hold to it. And you're going to know, the Lord will tell you. The Lord will give you wisdom. Is the Lord an unmerciful God who only gives us gifts meagerly? No, he is better than even a good father. And a good father knows how to give good gifts. So even so, our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts. Right? God doesn't want us searching around, trying to figure out what his will is, stumbling around, making mistakes. But he's going to reveal it when we're obedient. He's going to reveal his will when we're wise. And so getting wisdom is important. It's highly beneficial. It should be sought out. Let me ask you a question. Can you identify benefits? Maybe these, maybe others, but can you identify benefits of wisdom in your own life? I would hope as followers of Christ, followers of God, that we would be able to step back from our life, examine our life, and say, I know that this has been beneficial. I know God has blessed me. Let me put it in our nice churchy terms. I know that God has blessed me because of this. And I'm not asking financial, okay? Just remove material completely from your mind. Are there ways that you can point to your own life and say, spiritually, I know that God has added value to my life, benefits to my life, because I have pursued wisdom with him? We should be able to do that. Again, please, do not think of this from a material sense. It's instantly where our minds go. Don't think of it from a material sense. Because guess what? I can look at you and you can point to all the material things in your life. I can find a wicked person within 5 miles of here who has a lot more than you. Does that mean God's blessed them? No. So take material things out of your life, out of your mind, and just think spiritually. Spiritually, how has the Lord benefit or given me benefit? Well, they're also described as being more beneficial. Wisdom is more beneficial than gold and silver. Chapter 8, verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, you think about what that, let's put it in the proper concept. We understand what's being said here. We have in one category, wisdom. In the other category we have here, it's listed as rubies. Chapter 16, verse 16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? So in one category we have wisdom, and the other category we have rubies and gold and silver, the most precious assets, at least at the time of Scripture. Right, there's now assets, minerals that are more precious than those things, but for different reasons. And so you take the most beneficial, the most important assets, the most valuable assets the world knew, and what does chapter 8, verse 11 say to them? All wisdom is better than those, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. They're incomparable. You can try and compare it. How are you going to measure spiritual wisdom against gold? Right? They're not even in the same category. In fact, they're worthless compared to wisdom. They're worthless compared to spiritual things. They just are. And we have got to think that way. If we're going to think like Christ, we're going to walk like Christ, we need to think of material and spiritual things the way that God thinks and talks of material and spiritual things. And he says spiritual things, like wisdom, the foundation in spiritual things versus the material things, don't even compare them. They shouldn't even be compared. There is no comparison. Do we think like that? Like, honestly, do we think along those terms? Notice, it results, one of the other benefits is that wisdom results in an abundant life. We've hinted at this already as one of the benefits, but it results in an abundant life. Chapter 9, verse 11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. I can't argue with this one, that this can mean long life. Now, does this mean that people who die young didn't have wisdom? That's not what that's saying. Again, Proverbs, these are not promises, these are principles. Generally speaking, when we live a good, I'll put it in layman's terms, when we live a good, clean life, when we desire to walk right with the Lord, then in general, by the way, this is just using common sense. Sin destroys lives. Sin shortens people's lives. But those who choose to walk in the ways of the Lord, one of the just honest benefits is a long life. So there's this multiplication or the increase. It can be, yes, numerical growth, a long life. It can also be interpreted, as we've seen elsewhere, as abundance or heightened value. Literally, it means rich in measure or of long length. And so here, their life can be measured multiple ways. One is many years, another is increased value. And let me close out with the last benefit or category. It's really categories of benefits. It should be sought. It is valuable, and therefore it should be sought. Chapter 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. back at chapter 4. If you're there, we read it already, but verse 5 to 7, it's that get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We are to pursue it. It should be sought for. The whole purpose of Proverbs is to instill wisdom into the lives of those who read it. Think of this. Solomon, as the general author, not the exclusive author, but generally as the author, Solomon is trying to tell his son how to get wisdom, the value of wisdom, how not to act like a fool, what to pursue. Why? So that he does not remain simple. The simple are to gain knowledge. In fact, the scoffers are to turn from their bitter ways. And the sage, well, they're to search for more wisdom. Get wisdom and get understanding. So we should each value the imparting of wisdom from God to others. We should teach it to our children. We should see the value, whether we fully understand it, understand the value or not. We should pursue wisdom. So let me just ask you in closing, how are you pursuing wisdom? Do you think you've already arrived? If you think you've already got wisdom, you've already arrived, let me warn you, you are playing the fool and you were on the verge of being a scoffer. We need wisdom. And we need the wisdom of God. It's good for our soul and it's meant to be shared. So get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, next week we'll look at the actions of the wise and then the sage before God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, I thank you that you gave us, you know, these general principles, these proverbial truths that you want us to pursue, to understand, to take these truths. You want us to test them. We should test them and find out that they are true and find out that these principles are better than gold. The best investment that each of us can make as a parent is not to turn over material blessings to our children, but to give them wisdom, to help them pursue it, to find it, to follow the principles of Deuteronomy 6, to teach them when they rise and when they walk and when they lie down at bed. But Lord, may we always be active learners, pursuing wisdom. Lord, show us where we're arrogant. Show us where we're wrong. Use other wise people. Help us to surround ourselves with wise people who will speak the truth of love into our life for our benefit, not for their own. And that we would pursue you, for we know that wisdom is found in you. So Lord, help us to get wisdom, to get understanding, to covet it, to dwell with it, to embrace it, that we would be wise and pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.